Well, let's ask the Lord to help us, because it's a very critical, critical lesson to understand all future prophecy. You'd think it wouldn't be that way, but it is. So let's ask the Lord to help us. Father, we come to you today with much praise and thanksgiving, Lord. We thank you for this beautiful summer day that you've allowed us to have. And we thank you, Lord, for your precious word that teaches us and guides us. And Lord, I can't do that, so I look to you to be our teacher today, that you would help us to receive all that you would have for us, that we would understand these truths by the time we leave. And help us, Lord, to get beyond our daily problems, to realize there's a much bigger plan, and that how the enemy would like us to be caught unaware. But help us, Lord, to get our eyes upon you, because you indeed are everything we need for everything that comes our way. We praise you for that. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Well, why is a little fledgling country with a total land mass hardly bigger than New Jersey mentioned in the newspaper and on the news more than any other country? Why is Israel so important? And why should I care? In fact, if you're sitting here today and you're going through some heavy problems like we all do at times, it's really hard to think about anything bigger than our problem. And yet the Lord wants us to get beyond that to realize the best is yet to come. And these problems are only given to us to make us more Christ-like. Unfortunately, I usually reveal a lot more that isn't too much like Christ when a problem comes along. But we need to care. Israel is important because it is the fulfillment of God's covenant with Abraham, and that covenant affects every one of us. God makes a promise. He can't go back on that. It's impossible for God to lie. So if you're in a place of prayer and you're claiming Bible verses, and I hope that you do, you can come right up against those verses that God has given us. It's not his desire to have anyone perish. And you can pray that right into praying for your husband if he's a lost soul, or one of your kids. It's really important to claim the word of God. Well, the story of Israel begins in the book of Genesis, and the amount of space that God gives to the coverage tells us something of the importance of Israel. Only two chapters are given to creation. And don't you and I wish there were more chapters? Then there's one chapter given to the fall of man. And then eight chapters cover the first 1,000 years. And then you have it from there on in with Abraham. And there's 38 chapters that deal with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the very foundation of the Jewish race. Apparently, God finds Abraham and his descendants to be enormously important. We had those verses in your lesson today of Genesis 12. You sometimes, or at least I used to think, well, that's so old. Obviously, that doesn't apply anymore, but it does. The Lord said to Abram, "Get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house to a land I will show you. I will make you a great nation, I will bless you, and I'll make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you, and in you all the families of the earth will be blessed." Those unconditional promises, God had planned to bless Abraham, and he did this. And then for 1,000 years, the very name of Abraham is so important. It still is today, because the Jews, the Christians, and Muslims all look back to Abraham. And that's a huge portion of the world's population, if you really think about it. Jews, Christians, and Muslims, it doesn't leave a whole lot of others. It's an amazing fact. In fact, it's an absolute miracle of God that the Jews are in existence today. The Assyrians tried to wipe them out. Babylonians tried to wipe them out. Romans did. A couple of men called Haman and Hitler tried to wipe them out. But you couldn't wipe out the Jews. And those ancient names in the Old Testament, just think about it. Have you ever met a Moabite? Have you ever met a Hittite? A Manamite, an Edomite, and I want to say mosquito bite, but I better not. All of us could say, yes, we met some mosquito bites. Yet the Jews, as God promised, returned to their land. The return of the Jews to Israel in 1948 was an astounding event, unprecedented in world history. Never had a decimated ancient people who had been scattered more than once managed to return with their individual identity intact. That was over 20 centuries. I just find that such a miraculous thing. And then they came back into their land, their original homeland. This event was specifically prophesied, and it happened exactly as God had foretold. It was a miraculous act of God. Another miraculous item is that their dead language, Hebrew, was resurrected. And now that's their language. And I was thinking about that. I thought, wow, you have to learn a whole new alphabet if you were Jewish and went back to the land, because that's the spoken language. And that's an unusual hieroglyphics, or whatever you call it. Their printing is so different. And that would be a tough language to learn. But they speak it all the time. Now, the Jews constitute 1% of the human race, but their contributions to the world are legendary. Roughly, there are 6 billion people on planet Earth. 6 billion. 13 million are Jewish. So that's less than 2/3 of 1% of the population. And yet they have earned 22.6% of all the Nobel Prizes. So I had my husband go online to find some famous Jews. It's kind of interesting. We'll start with actors and actresses. There's Cary Grant, Barbara Streisand, Harrison Ford, Gwyneth Paltrow, William Shatner, Al Jolson, Michael Landon, Robert Downey Jr., and Paul Newman. Just for a few. Now, with musicians, there's Andre. R-I-E-U. He is Dutch. That's his homeland, but he's Jewish. Yeah. And it's fun to watch him on TV with his ladies are all in elegant gowns. And Leonard Bernstein. It's Jack Perlman, Isaac Stern, George Gershwin. He's probably the finest American composer we've ever had. Something Heifetz. I wouldn't try his first name. Yasha, is that how it's pronounced? See, I would put the CH as a K. Yuck. Okay, Stan Getz and Julio Iglesias. I got a little interesting thing on Julio. Besides the fact he's quite good looking. But he's in the Guinness Book of World Records for selling the most records of different languages than any other music artist in history. These languages include Spanish, German, French, Portuguese, Italian, and guess what? Japanese. Yeah, isn't it? And then he's good looking on top of it. Then for scientists, we'll start with Albert Einstein, Carl Sagan, and Edward Teller, Jonas Salk, and this business professional is pretty interesting, Alan Greenspan, George Soros, and Bernie Madoff. And fashion designers at Calvin Klein, Ralph Lauren, Levi Strauss, Kenneth Cole, comedians, Jerry Lewis, Marcel Marceau, Jerry Seinfeld, the Marx Brothers, Milton Berle, and Jack Benny, and probably half of you don't know who Jack Benny is. And then directors, Steven Spielberg and Stanley Kubrick, Mel Brooks, Woody Allen, Oliver Stone. And then there's some artists, Marc Chagall and Camille Pissarro. Anyway, I'm sure there's many, many more, but those are the ones that I recognized. I thought you'd be interested too. So, you know, here's this small amount of people, but see what how God has blessed the descendants of Abraham and has made them a blessing to us. It's think what would be missing if it hadn't been for the Jews. Without the Jews, there'd be no Bible. Without the Jews, there's no Jesus. That's a heavy one. Without the Jews, there's no Christianity. Without the Jews, no Ten Commandments, the law. And that's been the foundation, of course, of our country and many others. That was the thing that drove Hitler. He hated the Jews because they gave us the Ten Commandments. And, of course, the blessing and cursings. For the first time since 1948, our president has taken a stand with the Muslims. Remember, the judgments of God have fallen heavily upon Israel's oppressors. In 1948, largely because of the United States, Israel, 6% of the Jews went back into the land, and suddenly there was 12 armies ready to kill them all. Now, all they had was one tank, and I don't know how it happened, but they were all turned away. That's a real miracle of God. Then there was the Six-Day War. I remember being in Bible study fellowship under Miss Johnson, and she came and said, when I heard the news and saw it on television, I thought the rapture would be next. So it's very exciting in our day and age to see these things happen. Yom Kippur War, they attacked Israel when their back was turned, but they were all beaten back. Now, in ancient times, Egypt had the Israelites in slavery, probably about 2.5 million. And God sent 10 plagues and Moses to get them out of slavery. By the 10th plague, the people were so happy to see the Israelites go, they gave them all their gold and their jewelry and their necklaces and said, get out of here. But you have to remember, they all lost their firstborn, not only of their sons and daughters, but also of animals, there's livestock. And then, of course, Pharaoh, I can still see it in the movie. Pharaoh chases after him with all his army, and the floodwaters of the Red Sea swallow him up. So, there's history here of Babylon and Rome and Spain and Germany and Russia, who have all taken a stand against Israel and have suffered consequences. But today, for the first time, Israel stands alone. Now, the right to the promised land has always been determined by the only one who has authority to determine it. The land is called holy because it belongs to God. The Bible tells us that the earth is the Lord's to do with as he wills, Psalm 24:1 and Exodus 19:5. And I thought about that. You know, if you have a little piece of land, you live here in Castro Valley or Hayward or wherever, just go out today and look at your house and say, thanks, Lord, for letting me have this little bit of soil here so I could have my house. And it's good to give thanks to the Lord. And something like that we usually forget because we think, oh, you know, I really worked really hard for this. But remember, it all belongs to the Lord. Well, God gave Abraham and his descendants the land of Israel. There's a little saying that goes, how odd of God to choose the Jews. So we have to ask the question, why? Not on merit. Not because of their numbers. Not because they were more sensitive to God. Not because they were more righteous. Actually, they were rebellious, stiff-necked people. And then I have to think about myself, and I have to think, yeah, but why did he choose me? I'm a nothing. In fact, I gave him a lot of trouble before I came to him. So, but it's his sovereignty. And I don't understand that, and I don't think any of us really understand that. But what a precious thought that he loves you and he called you, and you are so valuable to him. You are like a stained glass window. Remember we had that last year. Where does that come from? Well, that's if we could slice your DNA and put it on a film and put it up here on the board, you would see like a beautiful stained glass window. So anytime you ever feel down, just remember, you're very beautiful, and you're like a stained glass window. I love to think about that. Might be a little cracked around the edges, but anyway, it's his sovereignty. So we look at the land in Scripture, and you must remember it means land. It does not mean church. It does not mean something else. It means land. And that, we go back to Genesis 15. And we got stuck here at leaders' meeting. So I thought I'd better go over it pretty carefully. Well, just to give you an update, in 2007, a little over 40% of the world Jews were back in Israel. In fact, for the first time, there was more Jews in Israel than in the United States, because the other, about 40%, live here in the United States, and then the rest are just kind of scattered through the world. I think one day they'll go back. And this is off the cuff. This is not anything to even repeat. But it's my belief that one day they'll find the Ark of the Covenant. And they'll take the lid off and see the two stone tablets with God's handwriting of the Ten Commandments. And you know what? I think the rest of the Jews would say to themselves, I think we better go back to Israel. That's just my two bits worth. But I entertain myself a lot. Anyway, this covenant here that God makes with Abraham is so important to understand. Because there's a whole Reformed theology today that discards Israel. And it's because they get off here in chapter 15 of Genesis. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision, saying, "Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your exceeding great reward." But Abraham said, "Lord God, what will you give me since I go childless?" He's got a problem. So he's got no children. So he says, "Shall I use my heir of my house, Eliezer of Damascus?" And the Lord says, "No, that won't be. It'll be from you." Let's get down here where it's important. Let's see. Well, that's important. But anyway, God tells Abraham exactly that the land will belong to him and his descendants. And then he says, "Bring me a three-year-old heifer, a three-year-old female goat, and a three-year-old ram, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon." Then he brought these to him, and he cut them in two down the middle and placed each piece opposite the other, but did not cut the birds. And when the vultures came down, he kept beating them away. Now the question is, in your lesson, where was Abraham? I got the most interesting answers at leaders' meeting. Verse 12, "And when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram, and behold, a horror of great darkness fell upon him." What is this horror of great darkness? It's just the holy presence of God. And you have to know that Abraham is a sinful man. Yes, he's been counted righteous by God, but he goes into this kind of a trance. And God tells them, your descendants are all going to go down to Egypt. Doesn't say Egypt, but it's for 400 years. Now he doesn't have any children, so this is a lot for him to hear. And also the nation they will serve, I will judge. That's Egypt. Afterwards, they shall come out with great possessions. Now, as for you, you shall go to your fathers in peace, and you shall be buried at a good old age. But in the fourth generation, they'll return, and then you will return under Joshua. Doesn't say that, but that's what happens. And it came to pass, when the sun went down, it was dark, and behold, there appeared a smoking oven and a burning torch. And then you say, yeah, what's that? Well, that represents God. And he, this burning oven and burning torch, passed between the pieces. On the same day, the Lord made a covenant with Abraham. Now, it's really important to see this does not depend on man. Who is going through the pieces is this